populated areas worldwide from 2011 to 2020. The new Action on Armed Violence, AOAV report, is based on data collected as part of the group's Explosive Violence Monitoring Project. It emphasizes that the data taken from English language media reporting is not an attempt to capture every single casualty of every incident around the world. However, the report provides insight on the devastating impact of using explosive weapons, including airdrop bombs, artillery shells, improvised explosive devices or IEDs and mortars in densely populated areas, and demands global commitments to end such violence. Since the monitor began, AOAV has recorded the appalling suffering caused across the globe by both manufactured and improvised weapons, the report says. We call on states and other users to commit politically to stop using explosive weapons with wide area effects in populated areas. The harm recorded over the last 10 years and reflected in this report illustrates the stark urgency needed for a political declaration detailing such a commitment. AOAV tallied 357,370 deaths or injuries in 28,879 incidents across 123 countries and territories, and at least 262,413 of those casualties, or 73%, for civilians. Overall, explosive weapons killed 155,118 people, of which 92,588, or 60%, were civilians, and injured 202,252 people, of which 169,825, or 84%, were civilians. As the report details, civilians were most at risk when explosive weapons were used in populated areas, a well-established pattern of harm. 60% of all the recorded incidents took place in populated areas. In those attacks, AOAV recorded 263,798 casualties. Civilians accounted for 91% of those killed or injured in populated areas. This compares to 25% of victims being reported as civilians when explosive weapons were used in areas not identified as highly populated areas. AOAV Executive Director Ian Overton told The Guardian the report clearly demonstrates that when explosive weapons are used in towns and cities, civilians will be harmed. That conclusion, he added, was as true as it is today in Gaza as it was a decade ago in Iraq and beyond. The highest numbers of civilian deaths and injuries were recorded in Syria, with 77,534, in Iraq with 56,316, in Afghanistan with 28,424, and in Pakistan with 20,719, and Yemen with 16,645 victims. Though Gaza and Lebanon ranked 9th and 13th in terms of civilian casualties by numbers, they had the highest percentages of deaths and injuries endured by civilians, about 90% and 91% respectively. IEDs were responsible for 52% of all deaths and injuries, while manufactured explosive weapons accounted for another 47%. In other events, both types were used. AOAV points out that the consequences of such incidents are not limited to immediate deaths and injuries, highlighting that further casualties have been caused by reverberating impacts. Explosive remnants of war contaminate the land, posing a risk to civilians for generations and frequently preventing local populations from returning or using the land for livelihood activities, explains the report. The destruction of civilian infrastructure takes years to repair and can leave civilians without access to clean drinking water and sanitation facilities or prevent access to services such as healthcare, AOAV continues. Such impacts cost further lives, exacerbate the mental health impact for survivors, and see rises in poverty and disease. In an effort to prevent future casualties and damage, Ireland put forth a draft political declaration for strengthening the protection of civilians from humanitarian harm arising from the use of explosive weapons in populated areas in January and has welcomed comments on the proposal. The International Committee of the Red Cross is among the parties that have offered comments, stating that in the ICRC's view, the revised draft provides a solid basis for further work towards clear and concrete political commitments to strengthen the protection of civilians from harm caused by these weapons, and detailing some recommendations aimed at clarifying and strengthening the text. According to AOAV's report, for civilians living in conflict zones, this declaration cannot come soon enough. States and civil society must ensure that strong air standards are not watered down by states that reject the need for constraint. States should also seek to improve their policies and practices in light of the harm that is predicted when explosive weapons are used in populated areas, the group adds. The international community must not only take note of the scale of the figures we have included in this report, but be cognizant of the fact that each number represents a life, frequently young and almost always a civilian. Earlier this month, the Zionist regime's assault of Gaza, which included the destruction of medical facilities and apartment buildings, one of which housed international media offices, killed at least 248 Palestinians, including 66 children, and wounded over 1,900 people, according to local health officials.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We were discussing verse number 4, which we say is a monotheistic expression, that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is called upon for affairs of difficulty, and it is only Allah who is the refuge in sorrowful occasions or painful occasions. And none other than Him is the one who averts what is averted or what is supposed to be averted, and none save that which is to be removed is removed. It is only removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَنْكَشِفُ مِنْهَا مَا كَشَفْتَ. The relief that is gotten is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we were discussing the second phrase, and we said, وَأَنْتَ الْمَفْزَعُ فِي الْمُلِمَّاتِ, and you alone are the refuge in painful occasions. Another translation of muhimmat is sorrowful occasions. The word hum is that sorrow. But there is a difference, a slight difference, or it's not very slight as a matter of fact, but there is a difference between the word hum and the word gham, because both are actually translated as sorrow.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
The word hum, which is the distress, it is distress by reason of harm that is anticipated to happen, whereas the word gham is distress for what has already transpired. So hum is something that you anticipate it will transpire, and that is why you are sad, you are sorrowful. But gham is that state that comes about in you because something has already transpired. So muhimmat actually are sorrowful occasions. Now, muhimmat also depicts that these sorrowful moments or sorrowful occasions are when, you know, something that you know will transpire in future because of the events that have already happened. Because they are the things that have already happened sometimes determine, and obviously they determine what will happen in the future. The whole system of cause and effect has been set up in such a way that a person apparently would think that because of specific events that have already transpired, there will be some effects which will be unpleasant, and that causes the occasions of sorrow in the person. So when he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is taught to address, to say that antal mafza'u fil mulimmat, even in sorrowful occasions it is you alone who are the refuge. What I wanted to stress over here is that the states of a human being are different. You will find that one of the best states which actually bring about the acceptance of dua, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, is the state of desperation, which is known as istirar, muztar. When a person is in the state of desperation and he calls upon Allah in the way it must be, you know, the dua must be done, the calling must be performed. If he actually sincerely asks Allah only, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept his dua and give what he wants and relieve him from distress. The Holy Quran depicts this in a very beautiful verse: Amman yujibul mudtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. There are three very important conditions mentioned in this beautiful verse. The first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the one who is in the state of distress. Amman yujibul muztar. Muztar is that state of desperation, real desperation. That means you really want to come out from this predicament and you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your state is such that you need to come out from this state, otherwise unpleasant and unfortunate things would transpire. And therefore you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that sincerity, and you have that state of desperation. This is number one.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. If a person who actually does dua, not that he is in the state of desperation and he doesn't do dua. Dua is also very important. That means sometimes we can say, some interpreters may say that dua here is the state that the person already has, because one of the ways of supplication is that you don't express it near Allah. But that's just the state that you have. That state is also a state of dua that a person has. But another way is vocalization. That means you express what is in you in the state of desperation. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. But who? دَعَى who? He only calls upon Allah, not upon somebody whom his mind has created. Sometimes, you know, when we are addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't have proper ma'rifah. At least that ma'rifah, that knowledge that is according to our level, that is very important. Even in that conceptual level, obviously, presential level is for those scholars or mystics who have covered the journey and have reached a very high level. So they have that ma'rifah which is actually anticipated. But in our level also, we should have that ma'rifah which is not naqis and imperfect. So the concept about Allah that we should have should be a perfect concept. And therefore, when we address Allah, we know whom are we addressing. We know that there is a being who is infinite, who is all-powerful, and who responds to us. And each and every moment He is giving existence to us. So such things are what we should think in our mind as we address, because ma'rifah is very important. And that's why, so this third condition is that you actually address Allah, don't address other people, or don't, you know, ask for your needs from other people. Rather ask it from Allah and know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را
یا
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and since today is the day following the Battle of Uhud, in which Hazrat Hamza, peace be upon him, the Prophet's valiant uncle, was not just tragically martyred, but his liver torn from his body and chewed by an Arab infidel. Let us listen to the Prophet's saying on the importance of pilgrimage to the graves of the righteous. Whoever visits my grave but does not visit the grave of my uncle Hamza has indeed been unkind to me.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. the light.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Now, the iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. Countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies. A French musician helps patients in an end-of-life care home to escape from pain by playing the cello for them. Let's have a listen.
Music soothes pain as music eases their symptoms. In palliative care, in end-of-life care, there is sometimes still pain in spite of the morphine, in spite of the drugs that really help manage the pain of the patients. They still feel pain, and music really has a calming power on the residual pain of palliative care patients.
The sound of Claire Oppert's solo cello resonates through the rooms of Jean Garnier End-of-Life Care Home in southern Paris on Fridays. She plays for patients who suffer from physical pain as well as terminal illnesses. The center's staff say music lightens patients' moods and puts them in a calm state.
After Claire leaves the room, we find the patients in a calm state, at times moved, at times happy. A lot happens. There are moments of tears, moments of joy. When we go into the room, we find there is an encounter with the person and his or her story.
I'm in permanent pain. The music helps a little to escape from the pain, I think. You pay attention to the music, and if it's a piece you know, you anticipate the next note. There you go, it's like that.
Claire has been playing the cello for patients in end-of-life care for almost a decade. She says the fact that music makes people feel good has been known since the beginning of humanity, but today it needs to be proven scientifically. Therefore, she has made it her mission to demonstrate the therapeutic effects of music on patients by taking medical studies.
The Russian zoo is delighted to welcome a new resident, a rare snow white wallaby. The cute Joey, named Elisa, was born at Regina Zoo in the southwestern city of Kazan. Zookeepers say she is healthy, playful, and has won the visitors' attention. Interestingly enough, Elisa's brother Alec was born with normal pigmentation. Wallabies are members of the kangaroo family. The albino wallaby, which has no skin pigmentation and pink eyes, is believed to be extremely rare. circus and lab animals are getting a second shot at life after a Frenchman built a sanctuary using his own private funds. The sanctuary houses some large animals like rescued lions, elephants and hippos, but it's also home to some lab creatures that were kept for scientific studies, such as the macaques. Circus and lab animals are usually euthanized if they are not rescued. Owner and sanctuary investor Patrick Viola says every day he takes numerous phone calls from circus owners asking about free space at his shelter.
More than a zoo, this is a shelter. It is a refuge above all for animals that need it when there is no other solution. You know, we get 5 to 6 calls every day. Fortunately, in 90% of cases, our help is not even needed. You can't just call us and say, hey, I have a horse, I don't want it anymore. There are plenty of other options. We put a lot of people in touch with each other. People who look for animals and people who have animals they need taken care of. We accommodate animals when there is really no other solution.
Patrick says his shelter is one of 3 sanctuaries that are able to look after wild animals and the only one with the space capacity. He said he's planning an extension as a bill aimed at phasing out the use of wild animals in circuses passes through Parliament. Based on government figures, there are some 80 traveling circuses in France. The ban will be phased in over 5 years once the legislation comes into effect.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
First a hobby and now a money-making career. A Chinese artist creates objects out of wolf felt in a studio in Beijing.
I came across pictures about wolf felt art online by chance. I was very interested in this kind of material, so I did some research and started to try to make something. I've been doing it for about more than 10 years now. I didn't expect that I could do it for such a long time. At first, it was just a little hobby. I wouldn't have thought that I would do it as a profession.
Yin's current exhibition is themed on a warm sense of family unit depicted by cute and cozy mushroom-headed figures. The one features a small mushroom-headed family, another features a life-sized adult and child with the same shape. Other artworks include plants and animals, but whatever the creations are, they are infused with human emotions, making people feel good. That's what the 31-year-old Chinese artist says. So far, she has been part of 9 exhibitions in China and Japan.
Let's go to Russia to take a look at St. Petersburg's largest celebration in spring, the Tulip Festival. Around 200,000 tulips from 100 varieties are on display in the colorful gala. It includes 15 extremely rare flower species. Russian artists also participated in the event to promote their traditional culture through various performances. The annual festival, held in Kirov Central Park, attracts hundreds of visitors. This year's event will run until late May.
A French artist has placed the Eiffel Tower on a cliff using optical illusion on the famous landmark. In his work, street artist J.R. has removed the River Seine or Seine with an imaginary street that would go from the Trocadero to the Eiffel Tower. This work is a collage of several layers of paper which are not to last long due to their rain and the crowd that will walk on it. According to the artist's post on Instagram, the idea is to find a place perfectly reproducing the Eiffel Tower and have fun taking pictures by the imaginary cliff or jumping over the gaping chasm.
In Thailand, 3 sniffer dogs have joined the fight against the third wave of the pandemic in the country.
The canines sniff hundreds of sweat samples per day to detect COVID patients who display no symptoms. The samples are from local medical volunteers as well as bedridden patients who are not able to show up at testing centers. Thailand's Social Development and Human Security Ministry is in charge of collecting the samples and delivering them to a university in Bangkok where the dogs operate. Researchers say the dogs can detect a volatile compound secreted in the sweat of COVID-infected people.
The distinctive scent is what would appear after there's an infection. Different kinds of viruses will produce different kinds of scents, therefore they contain different smells. The canines are very sensitive towards scents excreted from human body, and they have better sense by hundreds of millions of times better than us humans, without even having to come into close contact with the virus.
Researchers say the dogs have a success rate of over 90% in detecting asymptomatic COVID patients. They say the canines have gone through thousands of samples since early May.
Robots probably will never replace humans, but you must be worried they might steal your job in the future. A cook robot in Spain has risen to fame because of its ability to prepare paella, one of the world's most renowned national dishes. This robot is made up of an electronically controlled stove and a mechanical arm. It can put the already fried ingredients into the pan, add rice to it, and then stir it before pouring in the fish stock. The robot can prepare one paella at a time. However, all the ingredients have to be prepared and measured in advance. The Spanish company behind this product is trying to expand the robot's functionality.
They are designing what we have named Gastro Robot Menu, a robot gastronomic experience. Five chefs from the Basque Culinary Center are developing a five-course menu, so eventually we would take a seat in front of the robot and taste five courses designed by five important chefs.
Enrique says the product has already provoked interest outside Spain. He says some amusement parks and resorts in Japan already have their own paella robots. Paella masters believe the machine is a useful tool for chefs because they can cook many paellas at the same time. As the world continues to battle COVID-19, people are finding traditional and modern ways of remembering those who have lost their lives due to the pandemic. A public library in the U.S. is commemorating the victims with an origami project. The Greenpoint Public Library in Brooklyn, New York City, has collected 1,000 origami pieces since April. Inspired by the ancient Japanese legend that 1,000 paper cranes can bring well wishes or healing, the library aims to promote hope and a sense of solidarity. The delicate handmade cranes, many of them from recycled paper, are now on display in the library's lobby. The staff hopes that each and every crane brings hope to the community.
We made this for the COVID Remembrance Day event, month-long event. Crane, in many cultures, especially in Asian culture, it symbolizes peace, love, recovery, and hope. And especially in Japanese culture, Senbuju, thousand paper crane, is really significant. They believe that if one holds 1,000 paper crane, one's wishes come true.
The library has also asked people to come by and drop off their homemade origami as a memorial to the COVID-19 victims. It plans to keep up the display until at least the end of the summer.
Today's special. It's special for you. We present to you today
Rabbitu billahi rabba
In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamun Alaikum. You're listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us under the topic of Palestine. Today, Friday, is the 16th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic lunar-hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic solar-hijri calendar, and the 28th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We select chapter Luqman, that is chapter 31 of the Holy Quran, and verse 13 to listen to.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ.
And mention, O Muhammad, when Luqman said to his son while he was instructing him, O my son, do not associate anything with Allah. Indeed, association with him is great injustice.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Mammonism, worshipping one's station, sensuality and the like of them are counted the branches of the polytheism. On the contrary, the source of all correct and constructive movements is monotheism. What an injustice is greater than this, that not only it has been done about Allah, that they have considered a worthless being equivalent with him, but also but about the servants of Allah, that they led them astray and by their criminal deeds caused them cruelty, and also about themselves, that they have fallen from the peak of honor of servitude of Allah down to the depth of disgrace of worshipping other than him. As long as Palestine remains oppressed, the world is devoid of justice. The Islamic world experienced a short despite during World War II and Cold War. However, today's chaotic global scene has once again reverted the region's conditions to the pre-World War I environment. Currently, the struggle for independence and freedom for Muslim countries around the world has once again emerged. The world has continuously faced war and oppression, and these pressures countries to increase. The world has become a place of injustice, a trend that needs to be reversed immediately.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. Why is Palestine so important for
Muslims.
According to an Iranian author by the name of Abdulrahman Farah Merzi, it wouldn't be improbable if the Zionists later on would claim that even the city of Shiraz belongs to them, because Shiraz is a famous city in Iran, in almost southern Iran. But since one of the designations, a poetic designation of Shiraz in Iran, has been Malk Suleiman, that is, I mean, the capital of Solomon, or Solomon's capital, based on this only metaphoric reference to the city of Shiraz, Zionists would claim that, I mean, the whole region belongs to them. And at the same time, we find that not only Palestine, but also all the other regions in the whole Middle Eastern area and Middle Eastern region, the other places where Zionists want to, they intend to occupy, and they want to strengthen the rule over there. Because of this, we find that it's expected of all Muslims to be able to understand the depth of this calamity and the depth of this sorrowful attitude of Zionists to occupy not only Palestine but also all other places. And at least they claim that everywhere belongs to them. They've been occupants of not only Palestine but wherever they have rule. Now we find that they have threats for military activities of other nations, for political presence of other great powers or regional powers, and they have some sinister plans and plots for the use of energy resources as well as for environmental and water resources in the whole region. Thank you.
I will not fall, but I'm forgotten. I'm standing tall, I feel abandoned. Stand elevated, blessed by the prophets, led by the greatest, and peace it was promised. Can you hear my cry? Can you feel my hurt? One day the sun will rise over this land of love.
The issue of Palestine is an issue to be concerned of by all Muslims. The issue of Gaza and Palestine is our issue. It is our Islamic issue. It is the issue of all Muslims, and it is our responsibility. What we are doing is our responsibility, and we do not ask anyone to thank us for this. We have carried out our responsibility, and we ask Allah, the Exalted, to help us continue carrying out our responsibility. Any Palestinian who has stepped away from resistance suffered a loss. Israel is not honest in its request for peace. Even if it were honest, it would not have any right in Palestine, and therefore its request would be illegitimate. But Israel is not honest in its request for peace. Those people who took the path of negotiations were forced to accept the enemy's impositions. If they had turned away from the path of the enemy's impositions, even for one moment, they would have been either eliminated or humiliated. You have witnessed both cases. They eliminated some, and they humiliated and disowned the rest. Now we'll look at ways to support Palestinians. Take to the streets or the theaters or anywhere you can. More action is required to let people in authority know the strength of feeling about this question, and a very visible way of doing this is by taking to the streets in protest and the conspiracy of silence practiced by governments on the question of Palestine. However, street events don't always have to be somber or serious events. Use your imagination or organize carnivals and festivals which educate your community about Palestinian food, dress, music, poetry, or other aspects of the culture. Such events can be an opportunity to explain to people that this culture is being suffocated and eradicated by the belligerent Israeli occupation. If you are organizing a protest, then try to be innovative. Standing around with placard while shouting slogans with is useful to a point, but why not try to use consume and art to grab people's attention instead? People will appreciate the efforts you have made and become more interested in what you have to say.
No matter how painful it is, but we also have traitors in our midst who are clearly and vocally allying with the wrong side or cuddling up with entities that themselves have wrong agendas. We have to monitor them and make sure we do not forget that in this time of crises, these people, some of whom even have some knowledge, they were on the wrong side of history. As well, brothers and sisters, one of the most difficult things to say, there are some people that are misguided in their understanding of Islam, and unfortunately, they make this issue nothing to do with the apartheid regime, and they blame the Muslims, or they blame other entities, or they blame a political group in Palestine, and they say the fault is all theirs. Forget those other issues. Right now, we have an aggressor, and we have those upon whom aggression is done. Right now, we have a Zalim, and we have a Mazlum. Anybody who ignores the Zalim, anybody who ignores this Zionist apartheid entity, and concentrates on maybe some mistakes were made, or maybe other issues have to be done, but now is not the time. We have a clear enemy, Aduwwun Mubeen, and for anybody to ignore that enemy, and to instead say, it's your fault, or your fault, or your fault, then this is an internal enemy. We will discuss our differences later on. No doubt there are different understandings of Islam, but right now the Ummah has to unite under the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Anybody who wants to divide the Ummah now, anybody who's going to point fingers within the Ummah, even as the bombs are dropping and you ignore them, this is a person who the least that we can say about him lacks complete wisdom and hikmah and does not understand the reality of Islam. And I say this because I know some of them are sincere and some of them genuinely believe this is their version of Islam, but they are misguided and mistaken, even if Allah forgives them on the Day of Judgment. And we need to call out this backwardness of trying to find fault with other Muslims and other understandings and ignoring the bigger enemy in the room. There's a time and a place to talk about internal issues. Right now, when people are dying and children are being buried and bombs are falling on our heads, now is not the time to divide and disunite.
Inshallah, we continue this topic till another episode of today's special Fi Amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.